Two events that occurred on August 12th have been seen by some observers as an important sea change in the federal government's approach to criminal justice. A ruling issued by federal Judge Shira Shinlin found that the New York City Police Department had engaged in indirect racial profiling in its practice of stop and frisk, targeting hundreds of thousands of people, overwhelmingly young African American and Latino men, in high crime areas. The stop and frisk policy, deemed by Judge Shinlin to be unconstitutional as practiced, found very few guns or other contraband resulting in arrests. The judge called for an independent monitor to make sure New York City's police department followed measures restricting the program. Shinlin's ruling has been condemned by New York's police commissioner, as well as Mayor Michael Bloomberg, and the city is now appealing the decision to a higher court. On the same day, Attorney General Eric Holder announced his decision that the Justice Department will no longer pursue mandatory minimum sentences for certain low-level nonviolent drug offenders. He told an American Bar Association meeting that the U.S. cannot prosecute or incarcerate its way to becoming safer, and added that too many Americans go to too many prisons for far too long and for no truly good law enforcement reason. Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus spoke with Mark Maurer, executive director of the Sentencing Project, a group which has been working since 1986 to increase fairness and reduce the number of low-level offenders imprisoned in the U.S. criminal justice system. Here he assesses the significance of the court ruling on stop and frisk and the Justice Department's new position on mandatory minimum sentencing.
It's been a remarkable week for criminal justice reform between Attorney General Holder's speech to the ABA convention calling for sentencing reform and the stop and frisk federal court ruling in New York City. And I think it gives us a possibility that we are finally sort of opening up the political roadblock on criminal justice policy. The Attorney General's proposals are important, although their impact is likely to be relatively modest, depending on how it plays out in the prosecutor's offices. But at the very least, it should result in fewer drug offenders serving excessively long sentences. The real value of Eric Holder's speech, though, may be in the political arena and the symbolism of the speech. I have the Attorney General of the United States actually saying that it's time to end mass incarceration. It's been destructive in many ways, and we need to take a different course. For far too long, I think the problem for criminal justice reform has not been that there's a lack of research on how to do things better, but a lack of political will on making that happen. And this could be a very bold step towards opening that up now.
The crime rate has been plummeting, and in New York, the mayor and the police commissioner are taking credit for that, saying that stopping hundreds of thousands of Black and Latino men and arresting a tiny percentage has contributed to the drop. You know, and I'm sure people who are tough on crime would say that putting people away for 10 years or more for minor drug violations has also contributed to the drop in crime.
There's no evidence that the stop and frisk program has had any significant impact overall on crime. Crime was declining in New York well before the stop and frisk program was ramped up dramatically. And then last year, when the city cut down the number of stops by about a third, one might have expected crime to jump up, according to the mayor's analysis, because they were doing fewer stops. And in fact, there was very little difference in the crime rate. So it's very hard to see any impact. Similarly, with mass incarceration, yes, prison does have some effect on public safety. People who are truly violent and dangerous and are behind bars can't commit new crimes. But the scale of incarceration today means that we're well past the point of diminishing returns. And so both the fiscal cost and the human cost really overwhelm whatever modest additional benefits we're getting from this level of incarceration.
It sounds like, from what you're saying, that you're fairly optimistic that these changes will lead to other, perhaps more important changes.
we're cautiously optimistic now that the openings for reform will become more substantial in the coming years. I say cautious because the scale of mass incarceration is so enormous that it won't make much difference if we're just sort of tinkering around the edges and seeing relatively modest shifts. So what we need is really a wholesale reconsideration of sentencing policy and how we use the criminal justice system. What we've seen in mass incarceration over four decades is that we've become the world leader in incarceration and that prisons have become overwhelmingly populated by people of color, so much so that criminal justice prison has become almost an inevitable part of the growing up of young black males and increasingly young Latino males and women as well.
Some states, even in the conservative South, have significantly reduced their prison populations, with budget savings being one of the main drivers. Do you think the economic situation of the country in the past 5 years has helped these changes along in any way, or is it totally separate?
I think the reform movement we've seen is more than a decade old now, as policymakers and the public increasingly are trying to look for what works to promote safety rather than what sounds tough on crime. So in terms of the war on drugs, I think most Americans now recognize that putting someone in a prison cell for 5 years and not providing treatment doesn't get us very far. The whole movement towards prisoner reentry, how do we help people transition back to the community from prison, is also a public safety approach as well as compassionate too. And I think all that's been spurred on, ironically, by the fiscal crisis. You know, the fact that at the state level, governors have to balance their budgets. They really need to think now about whether they want to continue to build new prisons or to build college classrooms.
That was Mark Maurer, Executive Director of the Sentencing Project. Find more information and analysis about reforms of the U.S. criminal justice system by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.